From the LiveX studios in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and joining me, as always, and back after a sick leave last week, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. I'm coming to you live from the Cheesehead TV podcast studio in Midtown Manhattan. Corey joins us from Green Bay, Wisconsin, across the street from Lambeau Field, and we are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we celebrate this Packers team winning two in a row after Monday night's victory over the Rams. We look ahead to a Christmas showdown, a huge blizzard for North America, and we get to the bottom of Signalgate. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
the running backs.
We got the bad. We got
Rasul Douglas.
We got the ugly. We got
offensive inconsistency. Whether you're throwing picks or fumbling the football, can't afford to do that against the good teams. And despite the fact that the Dolphins have lost three in a row, they are a good team, and the Packers face them on Christmas Day. I'll be here live with Corey for the Cheesehead TV watch party. Corey, how the hell are you, man?
Good. I'm good. You know.
Do you remember? Okay, you don't remember. Because it's clear you don't remember. Back in the day, when we were first starting to go live and like do live, and we were live, and you had the thing where we got to start the show with energy. We got to come up. And I was always like trying to be like Mr. Newscaster, like, today in the world of the Packers. And you're like, no, we got to like jumpstart it. We got to like bring the energy. And now, like, every week I do this whole intro, and then I get to this and I go, what's up, Corey? And it's always like, nothing.
I mean, here's the thing. It's only this season, Nagler. My enthusiasm is tied to the Packers' record, okay? So
I feel
there you go. And also, you know, I'm a little bit
– Super Bowl run, you're not feeling it?
No. I'm a little bit mad at myself for not taking Sudafed a little bit earlier last week, and, you know, that's how I missed this show. I got taken out, and, you know, had I taken the Sudafed and the Tylenol just a – skosh earlier, I may have made it.
It's all right. You got sometimes, man, you just got to take one. You know, you got to take a knee, and it's understandable. You know, I'm just glad that you're feeling better now. I mean, obviously, you still got the cough, but it's good to know you're on the back end of that, fighting form, as it were. And speaking of fighting, there were a lot of guys on the defensive side of the ball fighting through stuff and making plays this week. And one of them is featured in this week's Hotness. Let's get to it. Oh, yeah, baby. I love the hotness. I could listen to it all night, but right now I want to feature one gentleman who had gone missing a little bit. I think people had started to say, oh, yeah, what happened? What happened to this guy? Where's he been? What's he been up to? Announcing his presence with authority throughout the evening, but certainly on the first drive from the Rams on Monday night. Let's take a look at Kenny Clark, ladies and gentlemen. Absolutely blowing up a double team. Look at the swim move, getting there, getting the ball carrier in the gap, putting him on his butt, and then getting up and saying, yo, what's up? I'm Kenny. I'm still here. Let's look at that one more time. That's right. That's a negative 2-yard gain. That's right. First drive of the game, Kenny Clark comes to play, people. It's good to see Kenny back in form. December Kenny. It's just what happens. Each and every year, the calendar turns to December, and Kenny Clark goes, what's up? Always great to see Kenny wrecking shop. So, that was pretty hot. That was some hotness. Of course, it was cold on Monday night, but it'll be nice and warm down in Florida on Christmas Day. I still can't believe they're playing in Miami on Christmas. Like, it just feels wrong. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, there's not.
I guess.
Like, Lambeau last year for Christmas, that feels like Christmas. Miami? There's nothing about Miami that feels like Christmas. Not a single thing. I challenge you to find something.
the NFL kind of screwed us on the schedule this year. I really do. It's really been a really weird schedule for the Green Bay Packers
really
this
has
year.
Been. And I'm not a fan of playing 2 years in a row on Christmas. I'll definitely tell you that. Although, fun fact that I discovered this afternoon. When he starts in this game on Sunday, Aaron Rodgers will have started at quarterback on Christmas Day more than any other NFL quarterback in history. It's true. Little nugget there for you, Benke.
Interesting.
He was tied with Ben Roethlisberger and Dave Craig. All three of them had two starts. This will be Aaron's third start on Christmas, making him the all-time most starting quarterback on Christmas Day.
Okay.
I don't know what to do with that information, but it's true. Let's get to some Packers news, shall we? A.J. Dillon clears the concussion protocol. A.J. had to leave the game early on Monday. Thank goodness he cleared it seemingly earlier in the week, though he was still on the injury report. He was completely taken off the injury report today, Thursday, obviously boding well for his playing on Sunday. Lord knows the Packers are going to need him. Also just very happy that he's cleared the concussion protocol. Next up, we have Jaire Alexander, named to the Pro Bowl. The only Packer to be so named. We have several alternates, obviously. I know. I mean, with their record and the way they've played, I'm not surprised at all. Your alternates from the Packers are Elgton Jenkins, Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones, Keyshawn Nixon, Kenny Clark, and Preston Smith. I would say of all the alternates, the one true snub is Aaron Jones, obviously.
Yeah.
I think he doesn't get the respect he deserves league-wide, either from the fans or his
coaching
peers
staff.
Or the media, coaching staffs
staff.
Around the league.
No, our own coaching staff. That's what I was talking about. Because if his own coaching staff actually respected him, then, you know, he might make the Pro Bowl.
Gave him the ball a little bit more and allowed him to produce, then, yeah, he'd be a shoe-in, a walk-in, if you will, for the Pro Bowl. Speaking of Aaron Jones, he is the now, after Monday night's game, the third all-time in franchise rushing yards. Third all-time. So we got Jim Taylor second, and Amon Green first, and Aaron Jones is there at third. Going to be fascinating to see if they can keep him in a Packers uniform, where he ends up on this list. And again, as you say, if the coaches decide to use him in that regard. David Bakhtiari, who's obviously missed the last few games after the appendectomy that he had to have out of nowhere a couple Fridays ago, he could practice this week. He could practice on Friday, meaning tomorrow. Matt, kind of just leaving it open. They're not shutting him down. Now, we'll see if that equation changes, if they become, you know, eliminated from the playoffs at some point.
Yeah.
Have to think, I'd be surprised if they ran him out there after that. But for the time being, there's a chance we see him on the practice field on Friday, which is good news, obviously. Speaks well to his recovery time. And maybe, just maybe, we see him on the field sooner rather than later, which would be great. But speaking of the left tackle position, let's talk about this offense. Let's talk about the fact that David's replacement, Zach Tom Bombadil, answering the call. I mean, I don't think it can be overstated how impressive Zach Tom has been throughout the season, right? And we've talked about how he's had to step in the last minute. But you go back and watch the tape here, and, you know, it wasn't perfect. It never is. But for a rookie making, like, second, third start in the league, he played remarkably well. And the fact that and this is what I keep coming back to that is so impressive to me. The fact that Matt and the offense doesn't have to change, like their approach with their game planning, with their calling, you never see them having to resort to multiple calls where they're sliding his way or having to bring a back over to him or bring a tight end over there or make sure they've got someone from the slot sliding in line. Although that happens occasionally on some of the designs, it's not like they're designing the entire offense out of helping the rookie left tackle. That's pretty damn impressive. That is pretty noteworthy. So shout out Zach Tom Bombadil answering the call. You love to see it. The other thing you love to see is the running backs driving this offense. We've talked about it a lot, and I think it's no mystery at this point. When the offense is working and when the offense is successful in moving the ball and scoring points, you see it is because the running backs are the forefront. Whether it's Aaron Jones gaining yardage, whether it's A.J. Dillon trucking through people and getting into the end zone a couple times, The running backs are the engine of this offense. Packers got three more games. Hopefully, they drive them through these three games. Because I understand people getting excited about Christian Watson, the return of Romeo Doubs, who we'll talk about in a second. But, man, the passing game needs to be, and I underline and italicize needs to be, the passing game needs to be in conjunction, in service to the running game. The running game sets everything up in this offense. And it was nice to see it on Monday night. No doubt about that.
Yeah, you know, I still don't believe that this team knows that, though. You think they do, but...
Yeah, I think they do. I think every once in a while they get, up against a roadblock, if you will, and they get a little impatient. But I think intellectually they know that.
I think they know that.
Could calm them down in the moment. They would be like, oh, right. But sometimes you get excited and you want to throw it around the yard, you know, as we've seen many times. And then speaking of Romeo Doubs, the return of Romeo Doubs. I mean, how did that not get you excited about the future if you're a Packers fan, right? The fact that Christian Watson was, not productive at all in the first half, although some of that was due to being held and tripped. But Romeo Doubs comes in and hasn't missed a beat. It was great to see him able to not only shake some veteran corners, but the way he was able to take advantage of one-on-one looks when the defense was clearly worried about Christian Watson. That's, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the future. You're going to see this a whole lot. Christian Watson is going to demand a lot of attention. You're going to see a lot of teams playing too high shell, which you saw almost exclusively from the Rams on Monday night. And Romeo Doubs is going to feast. I am here for it. Cannot wait. On the defensive side of the ball, Kenny Clark is back. I don't know if you noticed that. I mean, we highlighted that one play in the hotness, but there were several others.
Yeah, he had a lot of plays in that game.
I love Kenny.
He was doubled a lot in that game, too.
He was, and especially their center went out literally after that play we just showed. And I think, the Rams obviously have to adjust off of that, and they gave guys help, and it didn't matter. Kenny is just a stud. He's a beast. I'm so happy to see him back to playing the form we all know he's capable of. It's going to be fascinating to see kind of the post-mortem on his season and the defense, obviously, in general. But if there were to be a move at defensive coordinator, and I know that's a ways away, but if that were to happen, how Kenny, the change might impact Kenny. Because it really feels like his usage is one of the things that they really need to kind of focus on and then spread out from there. You know what I mean? This is one of your best players. You need to focus on how you utilize him and giving him every opportunity to succeed rather than, he's a cog in the scheme and we got to make sure he fits with whatever we want to call. No. What you're calling should feature Kenny, whether that's getting him on the edge, whether that's getting him advantageous one-on-ones with like weaker guards or whatever. Like, that's where you should start in my mind. But again, that's looking kind of far down the road there a little bit. Quay Walker, how about the rookie? I gotta say, that was his best game as a pro.
Yeah,
he was
sure.
All over the map. I mean, he was so close to that pick six, but even beside that, the physicality, the kind of sideline to sideline ability, you absolutely saw him really dialed in the sense of being able to diagnose in a way that he wasn't earlier in the season, not overrunning things. I think the one kind of issue you've seen him have, even while he's played better here in the second half of the season, is quarterbacks who can run. Obviously, yeah. Baker Mayfield does not present that as a problem. Tua is not a huge kind of – he's not a big guy who's going to rip off tons of yardage the way, say, a Justin Fields or a Jalen Hurts will, but he can move. So I'm interested to see if Quay can keep this up, stay disciplined, and have a little bit more success against a quarterback who can hurt you with his legs like Tua. And then finally – as we mentioned in the good, bad, and the ugly, Rasul needs to bounce back, man. That was a rough performance. And I understand there's a lot going on here as far as you're always going to be picked on. And we've talked about this kind of when Stokes was getting picked on earlier in the year. Rasul's getting picked on now because you're opposite Jair. And yes, Jair's given up some plays, but he made the Pro Bowl for a reason. He's an excellent corner. And if you're an offensive coordinator or a quarterback, who are you planning on going after. You're not planning on going after Jair Alexander. You're planning on going after whoever's on the opposite end. And right now, that's Rasul. And I think he's capable, right? I get people, God, in my Twitter mentions and on our YouTube chat during the games are like, oh God, he's terrible. He's not terrible. He's still playing at a high level, but he's not playing at that level as consistently as the Packers need him to.
Robin and just I think made me think that there were fireworks sense. Behind me. But you know what's funny is there are. No, but then I was like, wait, what time is it? And then, like, there are
Christmas
going
Jubilee
to be.
Or something?
Yeah, a Winter Jubilee, actually, through. It started last night. So 6 to 9, they usually do fireworks, and they do them at, like, 6:00, but Central Time. So 6, I think 6:01, because they were there last night. I was at Tits last night, Nagler. You'll like that. You know what Tits is, right?
I do indeed.
Tavern in the Over Sky there. At Lodge Kohler. Only Lodge Kohler would name their organization. Why would you name your restaurant Tits? Why would you do that?
Well, they didn't. They named it Tavern in the Sky,
which is Tits. What a bunch of idiots. Anyway, so I was at Tits last night. And I was watching the fireworks, and it's crazy because Titletown goes dark. Titletown goes dark, and you're like, what's going on? Titletown just went dark. And then they go dark for the fireworks. It's really nice. And it's really nice to kind of just eat for a couple hours and just watch fireworks every so often. It's really surreal. It's a very Lambeau Field has got to be one of the most magical. We said this in the broadcast when they showed the drone shot of Titletown. Like, it's a magical place in the winter. It's definitely it's magical all the time, but especially right now, especially this week. So when LaRobin said that,
magical.
I was like, wait, I do have fireworks? No, I don't.
It was magical on Sunday when we had our meetup, Patreon and Care of the G Club members at over there at the Hill.
Yeah.
Lockwood Terrace.
Yeah.
It was gorgeous. And the lights and everything. And like, I tell you talk of magic. It was like a Hallmark movie. It was nuts.
Oh, yeah. It's like a Hallmark
that
movie.
Whole area.
Every day.
Yeah. It's pretty dope. Let's
Everyone
take a quick
I
look
know called
this.
It Tits, by the way. Oh. Every single person. As soon as you tell somebody, as soon as somebody's like, I'm going to the Tavern in the Sky. And you're like, Tits? And then they think about it for 2 seconds. And they're like, then everyone calls it. I know like famous Green Bay people that call it Tits now. So. Just let you know, it's not inappropriate to call it Tits.
There are famous Green Bay people? You mean famous in the town of Green Bay?
Yeah, famous in town.
Oh, okay. You mean like Green Bay Packers?
There's other people besides Green Bay Packers
no.
that are famous in this
no,
town, inside of this town.
No.
Inside of this town. You wouldn't know, you're from Appleton.
That's okay? correct. That is
we don't,
correct.
Sir. We don't truck with Appleton.
We don't like
Apple,
your
what do you even
here.
Call What do we even call Appleton? Appletonians?
Appletonians?
Are you an Appletonian?
I'm an Appletonian. Thank you very much.
Are you an Appletonian? Wow, that's the worst name ever. Yeah, we don't truck with those Appletonians coming up in this piece and thinking that they're Northeast Wisconsinites. Come on. You're like in Central Wisconsin, bro. You're on the edge of Central Wisconsin.
So well, we were plowing through. We had almost gotten to blogosphere. And
well,
we
I didn't even
script.
Say anything. That's why we were plowing
I
through.
I was like, I kept waiting for you to chime in. And I was like, okay, he doesn't have anything to say. So
the problem is
going,
when I agree
we'll
with you, I feel like I'm just a smiley glad hand. When I just like, I agree with what you're saying. I'm just like, okay, I'm not going to be a smiley glad hand. Let's just move on with our lives. But then Robin threw me. It's all Robin's fault. Robin threw me off on the chat when he was like, there's fireworks behind you. And I looked behind me and he got me. Because I was like, wait, there could actually be fireworks behind
there
me.
There could be fireworks.
I'm not as stupid as I look, but it's getting close. Hi-ya.
Let's take a look at this Packers-Dolphins matchup, shall we? The Dolphins are on a 3-game losing streak, Corey. And I know what you're thinking as a Packers fan. Ooh, boy, they're on the downswing. Time to take advantage. And I'm here to tell you, not after watching that game in Buffalo last week, because they are playing much better than a 3-game losing streak would suggest.
Oh, yeah.
They are certainly running the ball better after that game in Buffalo than they had been the last couple games against the Chargers and the 49ers. They play some aggressive defense. It's going to be a problem. This team is going to be a problem. And more than anything, I mean, they can kill you in so many ways. Obviously, Tyreek Hill and Waddle. They're going to go deep. They're going to be fast. They're going to get underneath. They're going to have theirs. I think this is a game where I'm not going to be upset if the Packers aren't playing press man, because God knows all it takes is one slip and Hill is gone to the house. I think this is a game where we're going to see a lot of too high shell. We're going to see a lot of off coverage, which to me makes sense, given that these guys can kill you. But because of that, Raheem Mostert is primed to run all over the Packers again. Maybe not to 200, the tune of 200 plus like he did in the NFC Championship game with San Francisco a couple years ago, but he is going to get his. He is going to run early and often. And I mean, I'm not saying it's going to be Philly all over again, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was that type of game where Miami knows they can take whatever they want on the ground whenever they want it, and they just do it. Instead of, because rightfully so, Barry is going to be petrified of giving up big, big explosive plays in the passing game, and McDaniel's just going to be like, thanks, I'll just keep handing it off to my awesome running back. Look, if there's one thing that scares the shit out of me about this game, it's McDaniel versus Barry. Like, everything else, I think the Packers got a chance. Everything else, I can see a path to victory, right? I look at Joe Barry against Mike McDaniel, I just get petrified. Like, that's where I'm like, Merry Christmas to me, because I'm going to be here with you watching it and thinking what might have been this season if the Packers had gotten their shit together a little earlier. But who knows? Hey, man, it's a week-to-week league. Who knows?
I mean,
maybe Joe Barry pulls a rabbit out of his hat.
A lot of projecting.
I'm understandable, but it's
if
Christmas,
I didn't
man.
Know you better, I Packers would say that you're manifesting those ideas.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't manifest. I do not manifest, sir. You know what? I was talking about, you know, Joe most likely playing off and cloud coverage and blah blah blah. I'll tell you what, Miami, they are not afraid to play press man. I mean, Buffalo has a killer at quarterback. They got Stephon Diggs, a wide receiver, and a number of other guys who can kill you. And Miami the other night, they were up in their grill talking about press man across the board and sending pressure on third down.
This I actually watched that game. Aggressive
defense. It was a great game. That game in Buffalo was awesome. And they are not afraid to bring it. So this is a game where, A, as we were talking about earlier, got to run the ball, got to get those running backs involved, got to stay out of third and long. But more than anything else, earlier this season, the Packers had real problems when people like gave them heavy pressure looks, heavy press looks, guys kind of manned up across the board. Matt and Aaron, they're going to have an answer for that, whether it's bunch sets, whether it's those shallow crossers, the delayed crossers, some of the wide receiver screen stuff, tunnel screens, what have you, because this is coming. The press is coming, and the Packers
or Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs just get nasty. That's another way you can
I love
be
all
press
this.
Man, by the way.
Especially if, dude, Watson just
get nasty.
Going ham in this game would be so dope on Christmas Day.
I mean, if they're gonna let their guys trip us, we should just start tripping people seriously. We definitely I mean, have sir, a
for real, especially in the end zone.
I mean, that was ridiculous.
That non-call set the tone. Set the tone, no doubt. But hey. Packers got theirs, although it would have been nice to get Watson in the end zone. But, yeah, that streak was broken. Time to start a new streak on Christmas Day in Miami. All right, Banky, you ready for this?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, let's do it.
This week in the Packer blogosphere.
That's right! It's this week in the Packer blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Corey Banky.
Yes.
So, what was it?
I really want Trevor to fix my camera, though, so I'm getting a little bleed in from podcast room.
I need to
fix
that. I can see that.
It's bothering me. I can't think of anything else right now. I can't think.
Trevor, you need to fix that. Post haste.
You'll do it. I think you went to dinner.
So a couple days ago, many days ago, over at the old Athletic, there was an article.
Oh yeah,
that
there was.
Dropped.
Really?
And you and many other Packers fans were chomping at the bit to talk about it. Corey Banky does not often text me straight away with the drop of an article and say, "I want to do a Packer trans. I wish we could do Packer transplants tonight. And that's what happened last week. I believe.
I was texting you other stuff outside of the article. To be fair, by the way, I thought it was interesting. You know, when your own, when people on your own team supposedly like try to pile up on you, it's very interesting. And I'm not going to name any names, Tyler Herrick. But, you know, I do think it's a little bit fascinating. But here's the thing, you know, what's really funny is, okay.
Wait. For anyone who doesn't know, anyone who maybe is unaware, maybe living under a rock, maybe you're not on Twitter a lot. I think most people know, but in case you don't, there was an article in The Athletic. There it is. Signal meetings and Aaron Rodgers' little death stare. What it's like for Packers rookie receivers by Kalen Kaler. They're over The Athletic, and needless to say, it caused quite a stir.
Now, let's be fair. Okay, Kalen Kaler has a little bit of a reputation. I do like her work, and I enjoy it. But she does have a little bit of a reputation for being the female version of Ty Dunn. And for those of you who don't know what that means, it means that does have a little bit of a bleed it leads kind of reputation, finding people who, you know, anonymous sources sometimes, not in this article, by the way, which is funny, Pat McAfee, against you, Pat McAfee. It's not very cool to say that something's anonymous sources when it's not anonymous sources, actually. No anonymous sources were used in the writing of that article. But someone who is generally known for finding the JerMichael Finleys of the world that are going to shit on your quarterback and you know, use that the day before the playoff game. But in this case,
For the record, the day before the playoff game was someone else. That was a New York Times article. We got that wrong on the last time.
No, we didn't get it wrong. And here's the thing. We did not get it wrong, Nagler. This is how much faith. This is how little faith you have. No, we didn't, actually. Because if you look back at that time, we got it right. He pulled his article. And he is disingenuously saying that he didn't write an article the day before the game. I have it right. He's fucking gaslighting me, okay, Nagler? I have it right. Tyler and I have looked at the timeline. It's very clear that there was an article written by him that I'm responding directly to that he removed, okay? So no, my thinking is that article was removed because he had erroneous reporting in it, by the way. That's my theory. So there
this
was
on
an
what
article.
Platform was it on Go Long or what was it on? Because I'm remembering
It was a Bleacher Report article, actually. And so if you look at the timeline of the tweets, the timeline of the hold on. I love how you like automatically fucking assume that I'm wrong about this, which is really fucked up because
you're wrong. I saw many people who said that was the New York Times article.
Because a fucking wannabe journalist like Ty Dunn tells me I'm wrong, I'm all of a sudden wrong. Exactly. Good. Pile up on your fucking friend who you co-founded a website from. The fucking game the night before, so I had a very clear memory that article was written the day before, and it was written by him. The article was pulled. We cannot find it on the internet anywhere, but it's very clear from the tweets and how everything's going, his response to me in the tweets, that there was an article written by him that was pulled. I don't know why it was pulled. It was pulled years later, right? Like, I have no idea why it was pulled from the internet, but it was pulled. It was written by him. I can't prove that
the
article was.
How the hell did we get on this? All right.
Because you started it.
I got it. I didn't start nothing.
Okay.
Now that tape we can go to. But okay. So, understandably, Packers fans are ready.
I'm not going
to
be called a fucking liar on my own goddamn show, goddammit. If I'm going to be gaslit by fucking Ty Dunn, I'm not going to be gaslit by you, sir. Okay? I refuse.
So, needless to say, we can vehemently and 100% report that Kalen did write this article for The Athletic.
Kalen Kaler wrote this article.
Well, here's my thing. No, wait. Can I just want to expand on something you just said? Like, this idea that, you know, the bleeds, it leads kind of thing. I'm not overtly familiar with Kalen's work outside of the Packers stuff she's written, right? I know she writes for The Athletic now. We actually worked together. We kind of crossed over at the same time at Sports Illustrated years ago. Very familiar with what she does, how she operates. As far as like being a journalist, I think she knows what she's doing. But I also think it's just a little obvious that she's got a bit, I'm not saying a huge, but a bit of a thing for going after the Packers. And I don't, you know, you can take that however you want, but don't forget she was the one who was all hot to trot about Aaron Rodgers being at the Halloween party last year, who was literally calling local businesses to see if Aaron Rodgers was there without a mask. You know, like, she was like burrowing in on that one. And then when this article comes out, which, to your point, which you just mentioned, completely well-sourced, no anonymous sourcing, everyone's name is on it, right? Like, she knows what the response is going to be. She even frames the article. Christian Watson almost ruined the whole premise of this article because 100%. He exploded, right?
100%.
But the whole premise of the article, at the beginning of it, she frames it saying, no one can really put their finger on why. And then later on, Randall Cobb literally does that because everybody knows the reason rookie receivers haven't been productive in the Packers offense with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback is because they haven't needed to be. This is not a mystery. This is not some deep, dark kind of secret that no one can really find out or riddle that no one can solve. Everybody knows this. So it's a bit disingenuous in its framing, etc.
However, that's great.
Really well written article.
It is an article worth reading. Okay, it is not a nothing 100%. Burger. No matter how much the lady doth protest,
not even close.
The article. Okay, no matter how many times Pat McAfee says there's anonymous sources. So there's two quotes that to me really jumped out. Okay, and the first one is a quote by Sammy Watkins. Okay, who is no longer with the Packers, but who is a veteran wide receiver that is well respected in the NFL. And I don't know if Trevor can bring this up, but the first quote is Sammy Watkins about talking about how there's two offenses. According to veteran wide receiver Sammy Watkins, there are two offenses in one at play in Green Bay. Matt LaFleur's scheme and all the tiny details Rodgers wants executed to perfection, whether it's angle, yardage, eye, head, or tempo. Okay, I was a little bit shocked by this. I mean, I don't know why. We've been talking about it on Packer Transplants for fucking 3 years about how, basically there's Matt LaFleur calls the plays and then who knows what the fuck happens after that because QB1 decides to do whatever he's going to do. And, you know, when you make more money than the coach, the executive committee, the president, and the general manager put together, you are ipso de facto the general manager, coach, and offensive play caller. And then there's another quote by one Jordan Love. So this is not somebody that somebody we trust, right? There's somebody on the team, somebody that Aaron Rodgers has trusted to actually do this quizzing, right? Which is Aaron will bring back signals back from 5 or 6 years ago that he used to have in an older offense. He'll just signal it out there and you just kind of got to know. And if you don't know, you just have to figure it out. It's hard for the young guys. Okay, so these two quotes really got me going. And, you know, the Blair quote really got me going. But who the fuck cares about Blair, right? I actually thought about it later. I'm like, who the fuck cares about some guy? And that quote was about, like, you know, coaches don't even know what he's doing. But, like, this is not leadership. I actually put a thing out. You know, my biggest problem with this is we have allowed someone on our team, yes, the face of our franchise, yes, the coach, the general manager of the Green Bay Packers, we have allowed him to play survivor with our wide receivers. So Brian decides who the wide receiver is going to be, and instead of, you know, a leadership core of our offense trying to train guys and really do a good job and you know, help guys succeed, right? I'm totally cool with, look, if Aaron Rodgers was like, hey, I'm going to show you 5 hand signals and then I'm never going to fucking show you again, I'd kind of be cool with it. Kind of. It's still playing survivor with your team. It's still not being a good leader. It's still not, you know, not everybody learns that way, right? I mean, I know I sound soft as fuck talking about this, but I've learned this as a business leader and as a small business owner that not everybody learns the way you want to teach them. So if you don't, you know, cater your services to the way that guys want to learn and how they want to do stuff, you're not going to succeed. So you're actually getting in your own way from a leadership standpoint. So I have serious...
Corey, real quickly.
Go ahead.
To that point, real quickly. And because I think that's a amazing fucking point that I haven't seen posited anywhere else. Like, what if guys just aren't good at receiving information that way or retaining information that
way? That's the thing.
It doesn't mean they can't do it. Right. It doesn't mean they like you just said, what if they don't want to do it that way? Wait, what if they can't, but they still have all this potential and athletic ability and blah, blah, blah. You're just going to throw it away. Because they don't learn a certain way.
But that's the thing that stuck out at me the most is this survivor. It's like he's the judge and jury of who gets to be on the offense, not because how good they are, mind you, right? But how intellectual they are and how much they understand what is going on in his mind, right? Which is fucking crazy. That's crazy. That's crazy town. Okay, you're running a billion-dollar enterprise. And honestly, guys, if you go back at this offense, you can see this happening for the last few years. Everybody, you know, I stopped responding to some people because, like, the fucking – don't even get me started with, like, the radio guys. What's his name? What's the main radio guy who's trying to respond to me?
Because no,
I responded to Bill, Beef Ball. What do you guys have? Ball and Beef. What's your podcast?
Beer and Ball.
Beer and Ball. So I responded. Beer and
Billy?
Beef. Billy. So beer I respond and beef? To. I respond to Billy, right? And what's one of the producers? He's like one of the producers responding to me, and I just didn't
Hunter?
Even respond to him because it was one of his producers like trying to. And I'm just like, guy, you didn't even read the article, and you're not actually I'm not trying to be a douchebag, but it's like, it's really hard when you're not a small business owner. It's really hard, or any kind of business leader, to understand this when you lead people and manage people. You know, and not to belittle anybody's job, but if you're not in a leadership position trying to manage people, you really don't see that everybody does learn differently. Everybody does have a different approach. And if you don't change your approach as a leader, everyone on your team will not succeed. It's just the way it is, right? It's human nature. It's just how human beings are. And it's something that when you have that experience, you start to realize, well, guess what? Where's the oversight on Aaron Rodgers since Mike McCarthy left, or even before Mike McCarthy left? So you got to imagine our offense, and everybody's like, well, he's a two-time MVP and our offense has been this great. Yeah. Imagine if our offense was 35 to 40% better than it's been the last 7 years. Maybe that would have put us over the top for a Super Bowl. Maybe that would have been the difference maker in how many games that we've seen, right? How many times have we talked about in this show where our offense doesn't have the edge that it used to have, right? And that edge comes from hand signals. That edge comes from, in the moment, understanding what your quarterback sees and understanding what your quarterback does, right? And how much did this play into Devontae Adams leaving? You know, I'm not trying to say it did, but –
right.
Clearly, this is a thing, right? And it's even more of a thing when Aaron Rodgers gets on the air and treats us all with the most disingenuous fucking garbage
that
I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Like, I am so fucking sick of getting gaslit by fucking Aaron Rodgers. I'm telling you this right now. I am sick as a fan ever since that fucking Adam Schefter article came out, and then Aaron Rodgers had the gall to say, well, none of my people leaked the fact that I wanted to leave. Ever since that moment, that's what, 3 years ago? He has treated fans like they're a piece of shit that he can just fucking roll across the carpet and not give a shit about. And I'm fucking sick of it. He can go on his show and get his fanboys to be like, well, Aaron Rodgers said it was a nothing burger, so you gotta just hate Aaron Rodgers, huh? No, I don't fucking hate Aaron Rodgers.
Why are they down south? That's interesting.
I'm gonna fucking I can't stand this shit.
Okay, so let me I'll add on a few things here, though. Obviously Corey's covered a lot there. I will say that, to me, the response from Rodgers was so disappointing. Like, and it's so obvious that he's not responding to the article itself.
No.
He's responding
he didn't respond to any
the response
of it.
To the article. Right.
Also, he's the fact that his buddy Randall Cobb said that it's hard to get the signals. I mean, that was damning in and of itself.
But like, so it's obvious he's responding to everyone kind of, I would say, somewhat overreacting to the article, because to me, the article was pretty fascinating in the sense of learning how things work in the building and how we've always heard like the guys needing to be on the same page, right? And I'm thinking back, it's so funny reading that article. I'm thinking back to, I remember MVS, his rookie year. There's a play in Detroit where they, on a second down, where Rodgers throws it behind him. And MVS clearly didn't, quote, get the signal. And it's like, I'm just thinking about, like, oh, yeah, all these times that, like, I always assumed it was, like, reading the coverage at post-snap, pre-snap, whatever. Like, okay, if a guy is shading one way or the other, I didn't really, and I knew Aaron gave signals at the line. I mean, lots of quarterbacks do that. But the process of how that gets kind of, you know, put into the offense, that was pretty fascinating. And I was really appreciative of the effort to kind of like cobble it together and get this kind of overall view of how that works, how it has kind of evolved. But Aaron Rodgers sitting there and saying it's a nothing burger and insulting Kalen, like, it's just so, like you say, it's like, it's just gaslighting, because you're not responding to anything in the article. You're responding to how people responded to the article.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, that's what's so disappointing, because look, buddy, the Packers obviously love what you do, because they quadrupled down last summer, giving him this extension. Even though we knew coming into this summer, coming into this year, Davante Adams was gone, MVS was gone, EQ was gone, there were going to be rookies, and there was going to be one guy off the street and Sammy Watkins. All of these guys needed to get on the same page with the quarterback after he signed this monster deal. There were no illusions inside 1265 of what this was going to look like, in my mind. If this, you know, if this is the way they've operated for the last 15 years with Aaron at quarterback, obviously they knew the growing pains would be significant. Obviously they knew that Aaron was going to be, you know, taking some time to get these guys on board and get them on the same page. And hell, here we are, week coming off a week 15 game where we saw Christian Watson clearly miss a signal.
I mean, God.
So we're clearly still dealing with it.
It's ridiculous.
But the thing is, the Packers signed up for it. They knew what this was going to look like, and they handed him this deal knowing it. So it's hard for me, and I saw so many people go, oh, I can't believe it. The coaches don't even know. Oh, my God. It's like, the Packers signed up for this. I have zero idea what people are upset about in this regard. Like, this is Aaron Rodgers winning, who's won four MVPs because he's operated this way.
Yep.
Like, the Packers signed up for more of that. That wasn't going to change suddenly.
No.
Like, you can make the logical argument about why he should have been there in OTAs, what they should have been doing as far as ingratiating the rookies, whatever you want to say about, oh, they should have these things taught to the coaches so they can do it. But whatever you want, I get it. Logically, it makes sense. You're absolutely correct in a vacuum with nothing to do with 1265 Lombardi. But the Packers signed up for Aaron Rodgers, not for your in a vacuum on a whiteboard version of the Packers offense. They signed up for Aaron Rodgers version of the Packers offense.
Yep. So you know what I didn't sign up for? You know what I didn't sign up for and what I'm not here for, and why I love that I have this platform for this show, is I didn't sign up for Aaron Rodgers fucking gaslighting me anymore. And so I'm fucking done with that shit. Okay, so I'm not going to put up with that. And so what blew me away about the article is, here's a guy who thinks he's a leader, who, I've said this now, he's proven himself over and over and over again, especially the last 3 years, to not have the emotional and intellectual intelligence and maturity to be able to be a leader. And an MVP does not make you a leader. Okay, an MVP makes you an amazing offensive player, but he does not have the capacity for that, and he's proven it, and he proved it with his reaction to that. And, you know, yes, you're right, the Packers signed up for that with Aaron Rodgers. We all have to deal with that fact, but what we don't have to deal with is, we don't have to deal with dumbass what's nice is, this is like when the Packers lose and I can get rid of bandwagon fans. Anybody that fucking responds to me on social about this shit, I can just now mute and block them, because it's clear that, one, they don't read articles, two, they don't understand leadership, and three, they really don't understand what we've gotten ourselves into.
What I love is, when you criticize Aaron Rodgers, you clearly have a liberal bias. Someone in the comments just now. Oh, man, you talk about...
Or the best is when people comment when they're like, well, he clearly teaches people in practice. Did you read the article? He doesn't. And actually, Cobb and Love confirmed it. He's not teaching people. That's the problem, you fucking morons.
Corey.
Lord.
The Green Bay Packers offensive operations, clearly a liberal plot. News at 11.
I don't even know if I could consider my... I don't even know. Whatever.
Hilarious. It's just hilarious.
That's just
funny. What is great, though, is we got to come off of Signalgate, and I think we were there like a hard boil, about 24 hours worth, And then we got meeting gate because for whatever reason, Matt LaFleur mentioned to Joe and Troy, their production meeting for ESPN, that they had changed how they were meeting. And it turns out it was just one meeting that they had changed where they had been watching as individual groups. And then suddenly they decided to go back to watching as a group. And then PFT tried to make this into a thing. Mike Florio literally wrote 737 words. Now, Aaron, you see, this is where, Aaron Rodgers, this is where you do the word nothing burger a disservice. When you refer to Kalen's article as a nothing burger, which it very much wasn't, PFT's blog post about the meeting stuff, that's a nothing burger. That is a complete nothing burger because in this article, in this post, he kind of intimates that Rodgers and the receivers aren't even meeting, and this clearly is like led to their downfall offensively the first half of the year. Oh, until you go back and you read Rob Domofsky from October 25th when he wrote that the Packers, you know, wide receivers and Aaron Rodgers were clearly meeting every week. In fact, they even changed the schedule around to make sure they could do so. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a nothing burger, a real nothing burger. Hey, before we get
also,
to
also,
any further down
just,
here.
Just for those of you that don't understand history, by the way. So I'm a fan of the Green Bay Packers. That has nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers. It has. He's a Green Bay Packer player, and he won a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Other than that, so you can. I'm a fan of the Green Bay Packers. It is a team here in Green Bay, Wisconsin, where I was fucking born, where I live across the street from Lambeau. And last time I fucking checked, I can be a fan of the team and say whatever the fuck I want about anybody on the team, okay? So just unsubscribe and walk the fuck away. Just walk it back, okay? Lord.
Baby, Corey, fired up this week. I love it. I love it. Oh, hey, wait, before we get any further down this rabbit hole, I do want to play the Signals promo because Lord knows we need to go even past tonight. We need a docuseries about this Signal gate. So if we could roll this is very important stuff here at Cheesehead TV.
Everything was fine until I missed the signal. He wiggled his pinky, tap his helmet, flip us off. If you didn't know what the signal was, you were done.
Then get the f*** out!
You guys would come in all the time. We tried to warn them before they got quizzed in front of the whole team, but it was usually too late. I just want to see him held responsible. For every undrafted guy like me or third-round pick like, well, you know, someone had to tell our story.
Nothing burger article that I've read in the entire season.
Randall Cobb's on the record. Romeo Dobbs, Robert Tonyan, Amari Rodgers, Sammy Watkins, Kalen Hill, Equanimeous St. Brown, Jordan Love, Chris Blair, Sean Bryant, Jay Steinberg. So who should I believe?
Yeah, you want to catch touchdowns, you run the right routes.
There's just too many signals.
Oh, that is outstanding stuff. Tyler Herrick knocking it good out shit. Of the park for Cheesehead TV Social. I absolutely love that. Finally, hey. Let's open our gaze here a little bit to the wider NFL because very important news coming out earlier this afternoon. The NFL Sunday Ticket, our national nightmare is over, people. YouTube is landing the NFL Sunday Ticket package going away from DirecTV. YouTube, Google, give us a call, LiveX. We can help with the latency because God knows it's YouTube is terrible in that regard. But it is nice that Sunday Ticket will no longer be in the hands of DirecTV. Starting next year, you can get all your Sunday Ticket stuff from YouTube, either as an extension of your YouTube TV account or a standalone subscription. That's pretty exciting. I got to admit, I thought it was going to go to Amazon, but I am thrilled that it's going to be on YouTube. That's pretty cool.
I mean, they kind of owed it to them after they had a bigger bid and they went with DirecTV 8 years ago again. It was like crazy. I was actually surprised they didn't go with YouTube.
Yeah, when they re-upped, I was shocked. Yeah.
It just goes to like Roger Goodell having no sense of like the future. It's hilarious.
I don't know about that. I actually think he got one last big payday out of them while he could and let the kind of price... Kind of
if AT&T,
on the,
I really do feel thing, like you know? New York Times reported this, but if Stanky wouldn't have said something like they were going away and DirecTV right. would have made the same pitch, I think there's a legacy aspect where it's almost feels like the NFL wants to hold television up and see how long they can do it just so they can prove to the digital people like, hey, I don't care where your business is. You need to up at this business because here's this dying ass, but supposedly dying ass OTA over the top right. business and over the air business yeah. that, you know, I think there's something to that, but yeah, they should have. To be fair, when you have an entity that's willing to pay you $1 billion more and you don't take the deal 8 years ago, it's just a little bit sus.
Yeah, that it is. That's true. But I mean, going forward, this is only, you know, obviously good things for the NFL as far as the broadcast rights already tied up for the next 10 years. This deal is a 7-year deal with YouTube yep. and.
Apple wanted a five-year deal must have helped YouTube get a shorter deal because the NFL typically likes to get a 10-year deal here.
A 10-year deal, exactly. But I think it's interesting as well. There's still another carve-out here for bars and restaurants because one of the yep. first kind of things people kind of pushed back on or complained about was like, how are bars and restaurants, you know, where typically they have tons of televisions, how are they going to sync it all up, blah, blah, blah. There's going to be a whole nother entity for that. Like
yep.
that, like,
and YouTube, you know what else
doesn't even cover that.
Yep. And virtual, right? So you still have an opportunity for Meta to step in the metaverse and take a metaverse right. deal, which has got to be like another $1 billion if you really think about it. Like, you know,
oh, yeah, especially if it's like a multi-year looking into the future kind of thing. Yeah, 1,000%.
Because the NFL historically does not carve out freebies, right? There are no like, we never knew about this technology freebie. The NFL does not work like right. that.
I mean, they literally have partnered with Roblox, for God's sakes. You know what I mean? Like, they every little bit of penetration into your life, wherever you are, they are going to figure it out. They're going to find a partner, and they're going to be in front of you. That is clearly the way forward for the NFL.
To be fair on the latency thing, you know, Amazon has a service called AWS IVS, which is what Twitch is built on. And to be fair to YouTube, they do have three latency components to YouTube. The first one, which is their ultra, ultra low latency, you know, it just is kind of like glitchy. Like, we don't turn it on technically because we do the middle one. So I feel like this should push them into the ultra low latency world with their servers. So from an innovation standpoint for streaming, this should help them. This should help everybody overall get more ultra low latency in our streaming product. So that should be good.
I'm down with that. Love it. Let's go to the YouTube comments, shall we? Got some people lined up saying some stuff. What's up?
Trevor already did the first one. We got Ryan Willie Nagler. What about a primetime game on Thanksgiving next year?
No thanks. I choose life. Man, I don't know. I tell you what, I don't love back-to-back Christmas games.
I don't mind
the Packers on Christmas. Oh, no, what?
Nagler, what do I do for a living? I love how somebody just goes, I didn't know Corey was a tech guru. Bro, literally, I've been in live streaming since 2006. I run a company called LiveX. What?
Calm down.
I'm just going to shoot myself in the face for love of fucking God. Lord.
Calm down. So not everyone knows every bit of your life.
Hate people. Right. Joe Mailman, how is Corey coping with the Packers being 8-23 on fourth downs? Merry Christmas to everyone in Cheesehead Nation. Okay, here's the thing. I have some advice, unsolicited advice for the Green Bay Packers in order to help improve them on fourth down. Maybe, you know, the lady who doth protest too much, maybe put the lady into quarterback sneak situations and you can improve your fourth down situations, very short situations. So that is my unsolicited advice. I know he makes $50 million a year, but you know what? Everybody's got a quarterback sneak every other time. Kevin McConville, Rogers.
They didn't pay him to watch him hand off. They didn't pay him to go head first into the line.
Why not?
I'm kidding.
Oh. Well, I was like, who's next? That sounds like a good use of our money. Rogers should be on an Ancient Aliens episode about pyramids titled Breaking the Triangle, 7 wins away from the Joe Barry statue. Can you imagine if we win the Super Bowl, Joe Barry's going to be here for 10 years. Hey guys, if we win the Super Bowl, Joe Barry's going to be here for the next 10 years. So which would you like? Would you like to win a Super Bowl
which
or Joe Barry be
want?
Here for 10 years? And you know what? There's so many Packer fans that are like, "Bro, I can't handle that. I can't handle Joe Barry for two more years, bro."
Can't handle.
William James, I love Corey's passion. I take everything he says with a grain of salt. That being said, since the Dunn article, writers seem to write a certain way. Okay, well, I take what I learned when I was in college, the number one thing that I learned actually in high school at School of the Arts, my favorite thing, and I think that everyone should always learn, is question authority, 100%. Not that I am or anybody else is, but it's the number one thing you can do in life. Don't do your own research, though. Tyler Dershowl, thanks for the super chat. Should Nixon be the first lifetime contract for Green Bay so we never have to worry about kick returns again? Not a bad idea.
Yeah, let's trot out 75-year-old Keyshawn Nixon. I'm down with it. Let's do it.
Eric Slaby, out of curiosity, if you don't think Rodgers isn't a leader, what do you make of comments from guys like Nixon where they speak about Rodgers' leadership confidence in them and how it affects them? Okay, I may have hyperbolically said that I don't believe Rodgers is a leader. What I meant is that he doesn't have the leadership skills all the time that he thinks that he claims to have. And I think there's sometimes when you know, look, here's the thing about Aaron Rodgers, right? He is such a legend in this game that when he says anything about anyone, they're going to take that as a huge, huge deal. And in the same way, if he stops and takes a moment to show Romeo Doubs hand signals for that week, Romeo Doubs is going to take that fucking so goddamn seriously. He's going to think he's the greatest leader since sliced bread, which is my point. My point isn't just that he... My point is we need more of it, right? Because if we get more of it, we'll be better. It's not that we're not good. Well, we're not because we're not potentially going to the playoffs. But it's that we could even be better. It's that we could have gone over the top against San Francisco. It's that we could have gone over the top against all of these things. And it's all the little details. It you know, people are like, I don't want to talk about hand signals. But you know what? It's the as we've seen in these games. Look at the second half in London. Look at every fucking NFL game. It's one or two little details where if they're just taken to that next little step, very small incremental step, you win the game. And that's really my point.
Wait a second. Can I chime in
yes.
here? Can I chime in yes. on this one? Because I believe yes. that there are two different ways and types of leadership that you can be talking about here, right? And to Eric's point here, and I saw what Keyshawn said, right, about Rodgers kind of bringing him out of his shell, right, the interpersonal stuff. And then you flip that on its head or flip it around and you go to some of the quotes in Kalen's article where she's talking about, you know, Amari and others feeling he's unapproachable, right, and being somewhat kind of standoffish and whatever. And I will say, I absolutely loved that in the title of the article, they talked about his death stare, because this is true. When I was on the beat, there was a video of Aaron listening to one of my questions that Olive saw, and she said, he's got like a death stare at you. Like, and to this day, Olive still references Aaron Rodgers' death stare. And it made me think about the idea that when I was at School of the Arts, our good friend Robert Beseda used to warn me about the Aaron Nagler fuck you face. Like, sometimes I just have a resting face that looks like I'm saying fuck you, like my inner monologue, when I'm very much not. And that's what I told Olive. It's like, it's just how he looks. And that's what I think some of these guys feel with Aaron Rodgers. They feel kind of a death stare, kind of standoff, aloofness, whatever, until he approaches them. That's all in one side of the kind of cupboard, right? Like, that's one part of leadership.
Yep.
On the flip side, and Corey, this is what you've spoken about very convincingly throughout this season that I very much agree with. It all goes back to what kind of presentation of this article was. It's like, this was a new year. You were stripped of all the guys that you trusted in Devontae, MVS, etc., maybe even EQ to a certain stance. You had all new guys around you. Wasn't this the year to lean into a new way of working?
Something different.
Knowing that things were going to be a little different on the offensive side of the ball. But no, they spread the ball out. A lot of static stuff, no motion, no condensed sets. They leaned into how Aaron wanted to operate rather than Aaron as a leader saying, I know I have to change a little bit for the betterment of the offense, for the betterment of the team. That's it. And like when I talk about, or when Corey is talking about leadership, there are different levels and different components there. You know, to his teammates, yes, you to a man, other than maybe Greg Jennings and JerMichael Finley, guys are going to talk about how much they love Aaron, right? And I think
because
that's
he leads
genuine.
By example, right? He's one of these leaders that leads right. by example, which most people appreciate the hell out of, and I
he's
appreciate.
Not a huge rah-rah
he's
guy,
a tough yeah. SOB. He's not a rah-rah guy. He's one of the toughest guys in the NFL. He's accurate as fuck. He just leads by example, so you want to be like him, right? So that is leadership in and of itself. But I go back to, you know, I during the presidential inauguration, I was the traffic cop for all streaming for the presidential inauguration. I, because of COVID, lost two of my biggest leaders on set. And because of that, I had some kids. And instead of changing my attitude, I allowed myself to fucking freak out on them. And for 2 years of my life, it never went away, right? So because I didn't change as a leader and because I didn't change how I presented myself and how I didn't actually step up to the occasion, there's sometimes people that'll never let me live that down, right? Even though everything was successful and it was like really good. And those are the moments when, you know, you have an opportunity to change and you have an opportunity to change who you are and what you're doing and self-scout, right? And it goes back, we've talked about this all season, the inability of Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers to self-scout their own offense has been the downfall of this team this year, in my opinion.
I agree. You know, I agree, other than the fact that finally it seemed to kind of sink in about halfway through the year, maybe when Matt had his little change of the meetings, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But it's funny because Adam Stenovich pretty much put it succinctly like, yeah, I always want to run the ball, work off play action, get deep, it's going to work. And, you know, you starting that Cowboys game, that's what they've been doing, and it's been successful.
But well, point, and it has coincided with them getting their head out of their ass when it comes to what offensive line we're going to put on the field, right? There definitely is something that's coinciding. It's both things, right? So,
right.
Eric Slaby again, thanks for super chat. Serious though, fantastic rant breakdown. LOL. Appreciate you, Eric. Braden Loya, Kalen Kaler is about as convincing as Cynthia Freeland's game day picks. I don't know.
Oh, I'll take Kalen any day. Cynthia does good work. She's fine, but like that's not my bag. I the whole numbers thing, and it's people are really into that on one level, and Cynthia does great work there. So it's not my bag. Kalen, I mean, she's a legit journalist, and I read pretty much, you know, most things she puts out. Obviously, the Packer stuff has gotten blown up, and we talk about it, but I think they're very different kind of avenues there, obviously.
And Ayahuasca, thanks for the super chat. Cheesehead TV no longer allowed to skip a week on transplants, or please, if we love a Corey rant. Look, I tried. I didn't take the Sudafed in time, Ayahuasca. I should have taken the Ayahuasca, Sudafed, and Tylenol in time to make it for Packer transplants. I'll try not to make that mistake again. And, you know, KO, who I believe is an Aaron Rodgers plant. I'm not reading out any of your stuff, but KO, we're not in the locker room, but we read quotes from players that are attributed to players that they don't deny. And, you know, we have covered the Packers for a very long time, and we listen to the beat
also,
reporters.
We have eyes.
Yeah, and we listen to people, you know, when they say things throughout the year. So there's no mystery, but appreciate you trying to clap back. But good job, buddy, not doing it.
No, I like Tony, though. Tony, I don't get it. We like 12? We don't? Yeah. Welcome.
Contradiction.
People
complicated
fella. Contain multitudes, man. I don't know Aaron. I don't know what he does away from the facility. I don't know who he is as a dude other than how he presents himself on Pat McAfee. I mean, that is like as close as we get, right, outside of the official sphere of the NFL, which is great. You know, we get a little peek behind the curtain. That's fine. I don't know the dude that well. You know, we've talked, we've conversed from time to time, but I don't know the man. But I know him as a quarterback, and I know how he presents himself publicly. And the shit I like, I talk about. And the shit I don't like, I talk about that too. But as the man, I don't condemn him or like even give a shit, really. I've always said,
also,
like, what you do off the field is your thing, man. As the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, there's shit I like. And there's shit I can't stand.
Well, and also goes to, you know, we don't live in a, even though we might, it might seem like it, and this I think should be a takeaway for anybody that watches a show, because we, you and I do come from an older generation. Not that we're old, but we're you know, this Gen X, whatever you want to call it. But we do come from a world where you take people for who they are when you see them in real life, right? And you also give people the benefit of the doubt. I am not black and white on Aaron Rodgers. I'm not black and white on any human being, right? Every human being has shades of gray, including myself. And, you know, unless you know someone, and when I say know someone, which is very rare, like you're in their inner circle with them every day, you don't really know them. So, you know, there's, and so, you know, you.
And that doesn't lend itself to today's binary, like I-O, right? It's got to be X or O.
No.
It's got to be black or white. Like, it's Twitter's feet. That's like, we all live Twitter.
Right,
speak.
I talk
like,
shit about Aaron Rodgers. I'm a liberal, even though I'm a moderate.
It's looking worse.
Stupid.
You know, it's like, it's dumb. You know, there's no area. Like, Joe Thomas had something about the meeting stuff on Twitter the other day, and the first three words, like, there's nuance here. And I said, Joe, you lost most of Twitter with the first three words. Like, as soon as there's nuance, people are done. It's over.
Nuance
and
context?
This Palin article proves it.
Yeah.
You know, you need a villain. You need a bad guy. You need this to be great. You need this to be awful. No. No, I steadfastly refuse. And because of that, we probably get more shit than we would if we were just like, this is awesome and this is awful and blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, things are way, especially in the game of football where you have 11 dudes on the field at one time trying to get something to work against 11 other dudes trying to stop them. And then you've got a bunch of 30, 40 dudes on the sideline trying to march guys over here and over there and tell them what to do. And then all week you're meeting. And then you got personnel guys trying to discern, wait, that guy should stick around. That guy should go. We should need new guys in here. And then we got executives at the fucking level going there. Like, oh, we should try and sign this deal. And we should. There are so many levels at the in the NFL world. And people out here trying to go, this is it or that is it. It's impossible. It's impossible. It's never yes or no. It's never this is the thing.
Which is why it's so disappointing to see the reaction from Pat McAfee's show and the way that Rodgers responded to the thing, because it felt very black and white. Oh no, that's bad. That's bullshit. That's a nothing burger. Instead of actually addressing some of the things that are like, okay, you know, hey, are these things true, or are these things, is Randall Cobb lying? Is Jordan Love lying? Like, what do they mean when they say this? And so, you know, I'm disappointed, to say the least.
All right. Anybody continuing to do either. Well, anyway, I'll just say anything political here in the chat, you're done. I'm going to 86 you. It's over. It's done, people. You can have your views. That's great. Don't put it in the chat. It's our fucking chat. You can talk about the Packers all you want. You talk about politics, you're done. That's your one warning. That's it.
Okay.
Anything else?
Nope.
Awesome. Let's give a shout out to our Patreon members, shall we? And seriously, though, the Patreon members who showed up to the meetup on Sunday at the Rockwood Terrace. It was so great to see all of you. Thank you so much for supporting Cheesehead TV and the Carry the G Club members here on YouTube. You guys are awesome. All of you are the lifeblood of Cheesehead TV. We really greatly appreciate it. Really kind of blows me away every time we have one of these things. And we had people from literally all over the country show up to our meetup. It was so much fun. Thank you so much. And thank you, of course, to Charlene for putting it together. She's done it the last 2 years. It's an amazing a gift, really, that Charlene puts together every year. It's amazing. Thank you, Charlene. You are an absolute legend. Got anything else for the masses there, Corey?
Yeah, Robert Stevens, thanks, Super Chat. Honestly, I wish you guys were a little more passionate about the Packers. Me too, Robert. I feel like I'm letting you down. So
we're working on it, Robert. We'll be better next week, we promise. Well, that'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants. Before we get going, I do want to say Merry Christmas to everybody out there. We will be here on Christmas Day, watching the Green Bay Packers on our watch party. So, yeah, I know people got Christmas obligations usually around family, what have you. But if you happen to be hanging out and you're like, oh, I wish I could watch the game with someone, we'll be here on YouTube for you fine folks. So please join us. We'd like to thank everyone who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. We are, and will always be, devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
I think it's a fluid situation, and we're I know you guys love it, especially Nagler. I can see you smirking at me right there. We're going to take it one day at a time, and just it's going to be fluid, though. That's all I can tell you.